Welcome to Control Talk Now, your smart building broadcast with Ken Smyers and Eric Stromquist.
Hi, and welcome to Control Talk Now for the week ending November 2nd, 2014. It's been a big, big week in the controls world. The man, the myth, the legend, and I were in Chicago along with Mark Petock, checking things out for the Control Trends Award. So we're going to talk a lot about that today, as well as get you up to speed on all the latest and greatest controls news of the week. So without further ado, let me introduce my co-host. He is the man, the myth, the legend, the one, the only, Kenny Smyers, the control man from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Hey, Kenny, welcome to the show, buddy.
Well, thank you very much, Eric. Holy, you got me wriggling in my seat there. Who is this guy? Do I know him?
Hey, man, you're like the prize fighter of the controls world. What can you say? You know, you're like Robert De Niro, man, you know? You're the guy that, hey, if you had to have a control fist fight or something, we want you on our side, Kenny Smyers. So, big week, huh, buddy?
Sure was. Eric, we put the final cornerstones into place for the show that's going to happen January 26th. 2015 at the McCormick Center and at the Prairie Ballroom, and it's really a good feeling to know that everything's there in place, ready for our event, and then the having the finalists announcing them in Chicago. It was a great experience. It was a great thrill to travel around Chicago. It's a very, very immense city, and it's a beautiful city. Very clean, cold, windy. I know how it,
well, really is. Well, let's talk a lot about, we'll talk a lot about that today. As a matter of fact, I think we should reverse the order, Kenny. Let's start with the end, because we were up in Chicago near the end of the week. We'll start with that. We'll work our way back to the beginning. But a couple of things right up front. I want to thank Dozier Mills for that introduction. Dozier is one of the great technical support people at Stromquist & Company. Like a lot of the team at Stromquist, he is multi-talented. Doge, Kenny, is a musician. He's a drummer, and I tell you what, he does something really cool, Kenny. He's got a band. They record every week, and it's so cool because Dozier's down in Florida. I think they got a drummer in England. They got a keyboardist like some other place around the world, but there are four or five of them, Kenny. They're all around the world, but they've got it synced up where they can actually play and record music via the internet. So many thanks to Doge for that great introduction. Really a nice job, so we appreciate that. And hey, if you got an introduction for the man, the myth, the legend, and me that you'd like to send in to us that we could use to open up Control Talk Now, the Smart Building Podcast, we would definitely be interested in getting that. So, so Kenny, let's get right to it. Who's our sponsor this week?
Okay, our guy sponsor is Delta Controls. Delta Controls is a global leader in building automation systems with over 300 distributors and many thousands of installations in more than 80 countries. Delta Controls is recognized as a market leader in the manufacture of open protocol BAS and BAS components.
They're quite a story, Kenny. They really are a very, very popular company. They have a little bit different model going to market. As you know, they go direct to contractors, so we don't see them as much because the products we handle come through distributors like Kenny's company and mine. But needless to say, very well thought of in the industry. And I think we'll talk a little bit more about them as we sort of get into the week. But let's break it down for our folks, right? So you, me, and Mark Petock met in Chicago on Wednesday. And so walk them through that a little bit, Kenny. What was that like for you? And let's talk a little bit about it.
Well, it was, first of all, just McCormick Place has an interesting history. Many of the Control Trends community have been there already, and for those coming, we certainly hope you can make the show. But McCormick Place is named after Colonel Robert R. McCormick. He was a both a controversial and charismatic visionary who served as the editor and publisher of the Chicago Tribune. And it was him, Colonel McCormick, who spearheaded the drive to build the world-class convention center in the city of Chicago. Now, this is a gigantic facility, so we got to go in and see where we're going to hold the event. We met our point of contact, Pamela Nguyen, was very, very generous with her time, and we got to see the Prairie Ballroom and how we're going to set it up. And probably the most impressive thing for me is January 26th, it's going to be a cold, cold January day. We got to see why Chicago is named the Windy City on a mild day. It was probably like about 45 or 50 degrees, but the wind just drives and just really and truly tunes up the heat or tunes up the cold. But so just imagine you're in the McCormick Place, you're on the HR show floor, either as a distributor like us walking the show, or you're one of the vendors that has a booth there. It's quitting time, 5 o'clock. You can walk directly from that AHR show across the pedestrian crossways, directly to the Hyatt Regency Hotel, into the Prairie Place on the second floor, and won't have to put a coat on.
I tell you, Kenny, that's such a massive place, the McCormick Ballroom, and yeah, you know, it for me, I don't know about you, but until we actually go to the space and see it, it's sort of hard for me to sort of get the whole vision of it. And after spending some time there, I tell you what, buddy, it's going to be fantastic. The juices started flowing after we saw the space. We got a great theme we're going to be coming up with this year. We'll tell you more about that later. But this will be, if you and I have anything to do with it, Kenny, it will be the event of the AHR show. There'll be a lot of great things there. But this is going to be like the Grammys or the Academy Awards. We, you know, it's going to be glamorous. We're going to make it a really great time. We're going to honor the great companies, people, and products in our industry. We're going to do it justice. And I think you're right, Kenny, because of the venue, because of the later start time, you know, as you know, in New York City, we had a great venue, but it was away from the AHR Center. And because of the snow, about two-thirds of the people that had actually had tickets weren't able to make it. Some people weren't even able to make it into the city. And then the other challenge some people have is, you know, with a lunchtime venue like we have before, a lot of people can't break away from the booth to come to the show. So from 6 to 8, like Kenny said, you'll be able to leave the show. You'll be able to come by, have an absolute blast at the Control Trends Awards, and then go on to your evening event. So this is going to be jam-packed. I tell you what, Kenny, just with the number of platinum sponsors we have coming on and the tickets that they're getting, I think it's going to be a sold-out event. So, but we are going to just take people on a journey. Let's put it to you that way. We're going to take you on a journey. It's going to be befitting of the great people in our industry. And, you know, Kenny, it was big time. So, you know, from there, like I said, we shot some video footage. So what we did, we did the announcements in a video format, which you can see on Control Trends. We posted that yesterday. And you can see where we went to different locations around the city to make announcements of our finalists. And just in case you're just joining us, over the last 3 or 4 months, the worldwide Control Trends community has been nominating different people and different products and different companies for the 23 categories we have this year. And out of that, we've taken anywhere between the top 5 and 7 finalists as nominated by the Control Trends community. And they have become our finalists. So what we'll do now is we'll reach out to all our finalists. We'll hopefully get them on Control Trends or Control Talk now so you can learn more about their products, their people, and their companies. And then, Kenny, we will open up the final voting period. It'll probably be, you know, around December 15th or so. We'll probably have a 2 to 3 week window where the voting will open up again and you will vote for your finalist, okay? So if you've already been part of the nomination process, we've got your email address. We will send you a voting ballot when it's time to vote. And if you haven't done that yet, there will be links where you can sign up and vote for the finals. So going to be very, very exciting times, Kenny. So now for the Control Trends community, sit back, relax. We're going to bring in the finalists to you so they can tell you about themselves so you can make an informed decision when it's time to vote.
Right now, Eric, there's 24 categories, and you know, it was a combination of some of the old stalwarts, their products being recognized again and again for being the, you know, just the go-to controllers. We added some new categories, so the VAV controller, that category there was an incredible competition already. I mean, just have so many good products. And then we saw some of the new players, like you said, Distech, Delta, Neptronic. Their community was very quick to respond and support them. So the actual you know, like to use Mike Marston's thing, when you go with a pyramid with a market, how you go in at the top and then you want to go deep and wide into the base of the pyramid. Well, Control Trends community finally is reaching these areas we didn't get to last year, and there's an amazing group of people that believe that their products and their business models are, you know, the superstar of the industry.
Well, yeah, Kenny, I was going to ask you, were there any real surprises for you? And now we're not going to go through the nominees, the winners on this particular show. The reason being, it's on Control Trends. It'll also be Ken Sinclair, I think, is going to have it posted in his November issue of automatedbuildings.com, which is coming out. So be sure to check that out. But we do have a post where you say you can either look at the video or you can just read the finalists. But Kenny, any surprises for you?
Yeah, a little bit. I see the wireless products and the solutions definitely made an impact this year. You know, particularly in the thermostats, both the residential and commercial thermostats. You know, wireless in ocean play. Those products now are coming to market. You know, you got some new technology, and you know, the EST plug-it. You know, that's a kind of a cool thing. You just have a ton of new stuff from Varis, ACI, Functional Devices, Contemporary Controls. Contemporary Controls. You know, they're that new product that they came out with recently that ties into the Spider. It was kind of cool. So we're seeing a little bit of disruption there, and the impact is there's new products and solutions coming out, and they're making an impact.
I tell you what, a lot of people surprised me. You're right. Plug-It was one that just sort of came out of nowhere. I mean, it's a really cool technology, and we'll get Scott Dite on to talk about that. But they were up for several awards. That surprised me. Schneider Electric really showed up in a big-time way. I mean, you know, you could just tell by the nominations. They've really energized their network. Delta Controls, Neptronics, big player. Distech has always been in there, Kenny, so it didn't sort of surprise me that Distech, you know, made the finals again, because they've been in the finals every year so far. But I think they're going to have to get busy and get more involved if they want to bring home a trophy this year. So I think that – and then the other thing, too, Kenny, was the executives. I mean, we had a whole new level of executives. For example, John Suplett came on for the PID Award from Tritium. Normally, Ed Merwin's been the guy. So, direct, he won last year. He and Mike Marston were co-winners. So John Suplett was in. Nino DeCosmo for Executive of the Year. And who was it from Honeywell? There was somebody from Honeywell that's way, way up the line. I didn't even know was aware of the awards, and she just rocked and rolled. Beth, what's her last name?
Wozniak. Beth Wozniak,
yeah. So she just got a ton of votes. So new players coming in. So lots of new names, lots of new faces, which I think is very befitting for this particular award. I know for sure that, you know, our friend over at Delta, they are playing really, really hard, Neptronics. Mike Epperson from ISA made it in. That's a company we've talked a lot about on the show. So lots of new names, lots of new faces. And, Kenny, I just got to tell you, for our stalwarts that have been out there, you know, you got to get busy because the new players that are coming in, they're playing to win. So again, all our finalists, Kenny and I, we have an open platform. If you want to be interviewed by us, you want to send blogs in, you want to send videos in, we will post them. Your job as a finalist is to do everything to educate the worldwide Control Trends community about why you or your people or your products or your company are worthy of winning the 2014 Control Trends Award. So wide open, but you got to come to us. We're easy to get hold of. Please reach out to us, because Ken and I, over the next month or so, are going to be putting together all that collateral again, so that our worldwide Control Trends community can make an informed decision. If you don't put anything out, Kenny, I tell you, the thing we've learned over the years, and I'll say this, is that most people are pretty good at energizing their own networks, okay? But that's not going to be enough to win an award. You're going to have to do that, but then you're also going to have to reach out and get some exposure on Control Trends so that the people that maybe don't know about you or haven't found you yet can resonate with you and vote for you. Which, if you think about it, in and of itself, is not a bad thing. You know, having people find you on Control Trends and become customers, not a bad thing. So, again.
No, and Eric, you know, that's like you said before, every effort is a positive effort. You know, everybody now is a winner. Everybody on this list here, all these finalists, it shows that their social media programs, that their marketing, their social or their marketing collateral is having an impact, because it's resulted in their customer base or the engineers that you know, specify them or whoever they might be, came together and nominated them. So at this point, it's a winning process that gets bigger. the reward gets bigger. The value of a participation gets bigger because you're getting all that attention. And people might be discovering people for the first time because they've been kind of one-dimensional, or this is the way we have always done this business. This is my favorite thermostat. But then all of a sudden, they see one of the videos or they see one of the presentations. They say, hey, you know what? That sounds pretty cool. I didn't know they could do that. And next thing you know, it's creating the most desired effect possible, and that is bringing value to new customers.
Well, bringing value, maybe bringing business. So I think, Kenny, the way I look at it is we're in a new age, and what social media allows you to do is to be found instead of trying to find customers, having customers find you. And if you think about the leverage effect, if you think about the bang for the buck, you come on and do one interview, which might take an hour, 2 hours of your time, that thing can be up forever, and you never know who's going to see that, when they're going to see it, and what it can result in. Now, I've had this happen to me once, Kenny, and this is the ideal, because as a business guy, I'll tell you, my biggest expense right now is having my outside sales guys go out and prospect. It's just a losing proposition. It's hard for them to get access with security and all that tightening up, and the fact that most engineers and maintenance people don't have time to see salespeople unless they have a problem. To send those guys out and girls out to prospect is a huge waste of money. Now, you got to have really good salespeople that can go in, but once they get found, it can go in and do an order fulfillment. That's what I'm paying my people to do now. But in terms of prospecting, it's a very expensive way to do it. So here's the story, and this is for our listeners out there, because this could happen to you too. And matter of fact, it has happened to people. I've had people that have come on and done interviews on Control Trends or put their videos up and said, hey, we got a lead out of this. This was the motherlode, Kenny. You're familiar with the Honeywell Delphi boiler control system?
Sure am.
That is a very difficult sale. It's a very highly engineered product. It's a great product, right? But it's expensive. So we did an interview with Dave Krause. We had a video interview where we broke down and did some training on the Honeywell Delphi and actually shot some footage on an installation that we had done. And I got a call. I came in on a Monday, had a call from an industrial plant over in Augusta, Georgia, which is in our territory. And this is what you're going for here, okay? He calls up and says, corporate engineering in New Jersey saw the video on the Honeywell Delphi. It's already approved. I just need somebody to come by and tell us what we need. And they're going to buy it from you because they've been following you guys on Control Trends and they like who you are. It doesn't get any better than that, So you start thinking about that was probably a $40,000, $50,000 sale. I think we invested probably 2 hours in time creating that video. And that video is still up. It still lives. It could happen again. And that's the invitation that we're putting out to all our Control Trends vendors and listeners. Hey, if you got something that's good to say, come on the show. You got to make time to do it. But especially if you're a finalist in the Control Trends Awards, get out there, get visible, come to our site, be on our site, and let potential customers find you. We know you already know who your customers are. This is about having people find you that you don't even know exist, and they might not know that you exist either.
Well said, Eric.
Thank you, Kenny. I have to get off. I mean, that was almost as good as that thing we did on light litter in Chicago. You remember I did that rant on light litter, but which we can't post that because I'm calling Al Gore out and Tony Fadell and all this stuff. It was really in bad taste, but it was kind of funny, wasn't it?
Well, it was humorous. It's a little bit like a Saturday Night Live skit type of thing, and we're close to getting attention where we could upset somebody because there's a political correctness, but I think the theme behind light litter, though, was right on. The fact that...
I tell you what, I couldn't believe it. There was more light litter in Chicago than any city I've ever seen.
Right.
It was everywhere. And we show in one of the nominees' announcements, Kenny actually points out, we actually point some light litter out so you can actually see it for yourself. And for those of you who don't know what light litter is simply having outside lights on in the middle of the daylight. When you have plenty of light, you don't need to run those. And unfortunately, I think our biggest offenders are the government. They just don't seem to care. And of course, what Kenny and I are saying, our industry has so many great solutions. I mean, look at Brian Pike from Wattstopper and the Bullet, which fits right on top of these street lights that allow you to wirelessly communicate with them and troubleshoot them. So there's really no excuse for light litter to exist.
No, there isn't, Eric. There isn't. And I, again, you got to get somebody up on a cherry picker, but it's so fixable. And the the return on your investment is so tangible. I mean, lighting can't be free. I mean, there's certain places in the country that are next to the utility power stations, and I've seen people talk about they have such a low rate of utility expense that they don't care about wasting electricity. I've actually had somebody tell me that. It doesn't matter to us. And so that's interesting. You're very fortunate, and we'll see you next time around. But a lot of people can't afford to waste that kind of money in the bulbs themselves, so they don't last forever. You know, those whatever type of lights they are, they have a shelf life on them or you know, operational life, and then they have to be replaced, and then they have that operational expense to replace the light. Well, if you mitigate that through, you know, the timely on and off control of the lights, then you're going to have longer length for everything, and it all makes sense, but you got to get a starting point. We need an initiative. We need some big guy in some powerful place to say, hey, look, it's over. If that was water running from a hose, look what they got in California. They have a 411 or some sort of a number to call if you see water being wasted. If somebody's sprinkling their front yard and during one of these you know, water shortage periods, it's a citation. Yeah. It's an offense. So one day we're going to see something similar to it. We just need to get the right ears, right eyes and ears
Al
on this.
Al Gore, we'll calling Al Gore. Al, are you listening? Because nobody believes you founded the internet. But I tell you what, you get on this light litter thing. It's right. A very convenient truth here, by the way, because this is easy to fix. You could go down for something really big here. The guy who solved the light litter program. We'll help you out. Give us a call. You know how to get a hold of us. Solve the light litter problem. You can do it. All right, Kenny, let's get into what happened last week. What do you say?
Well, okay, Eric. Well, it's a good theme, and I hope we succeed. There's certain things that we really strive to get in place, and so it doesn't go away. And one is our Control Trends awards, and you know, the importance we put on the products, the people, the professionals that service this industry so well, to recognize them during their careers and afterwards. But one of the things to save that light litter thing, I hope it doesn't go away. I hope it really takes hold, and we'll transition now into the blogs that we had last week on Control Trends. The first one being the Stromquist University live streaming event, Belimo Energy Valve Lunch and Learn. I did go and see a little bit of that, Eric. I'll tell you what, you're really getting that streaming down. I think that's going to change the industry too. Tell us about that.
Well, I tell you what, Belimo came in to do the streaming on the Energy Valve. Kevin Leathers did a fantastic job, and I got to tell you, dude, I'm so excited about this Energy Valve, I can't see straight. And I have to be kind of careful because it is nominated for a couple of products. But I had gone down to the Platinum meeting. This, to me, Kenny, is a no-brainer. You talk about a no-brainer like light litter. What it will save energy-wise, the fact that it will give you your metering, your BTU metering right there, is a no-brainer. This poor guy is trying to do this live stream, which we are doing live streaming from Atlanta now, and we're getting the quality down, so that allows you to have you can watch it live and ask questions via chat, or we archive them and then put them back up so you can watch it later. But this poor guy Kevin Leathers, man, he is trying to teach this class, and I cannot shut up, Kenny. I'm so excited. But Kevin, you got to tell him about this and the fact that we're controlling off of temperature now. We're not going to, it's pressure independent, and what that means. And I got excited. So you can kind of see that on the tape a little bit. But, dude, I tell you what, it is a fantastic product. We had some people from the government there. I won't say who. But they were there because basically they're mandated to get their energy down, and they've done everything you know how to do, okay, with the controls and the lighting and everything else. And this is sort of the last place that they're looking to get that last 20%. So we're going to be doing a proof of concept with those guys. But Kenny, this energy valve is truly, I think, a game changer. As a matter of fact, I think this should be our smart building tip of the week, which is look at, you know, what it's costing you to run water through your chilled water and hot water coils, because the typical designs, the way they're designed based on pressure drop, pretty much guarantees you the coils are going to overflow. Okay. It's just, I mean, if you see the math on this, it's virtually impossible, because as you get temperature changes and you get away from design temperatures, your valves are sized in such a way that your pressure drops are going to change. You're going to overflow the coils, and that's going to do a couple of things. It's going to make your pump work harder. It's going to make your chiller work harder. It's going to lower your delta T across your chiller. And so that's best case scenario. You just use about 30% more energy than you need to. Worst case scenario is, if you got a pretty tall building up on your upper floors, those coils get starved because the ones at the bottom are being overflowed, And so you get all kinds of temperature control problems. And that was one of the questions we asked, is that do you have a tall building, and are people on the top floors complaining about not being able to get comfortable? And that's sort of a telltale sign that your balancing is probably off. But you eliminate the balancing valves, you eliminate all that trying to balance the systems out. It does it for yourself. It's self-balancing, self-regulating. And the energy savings, as you know, Kenny, we published the post from MIT, who did an objective study of this, and it's just irrefutable.
Sure is, Eric. And again, I think it's common, and I get excited about that too, because that's the good part of the job, when you're able to sell something that you know is a solution. You know that it's there's no really selling; it's just a matter of informing. You know, and to have that kind of collateral to go into one of the larger customers would certainly benefit the most, because of just the actual numbers they have in, you know, dormitories, large commercial buildings. You know, this technology can really and truly make an impact. When you go to a city like Chicago, I tell you, I couldn't believe how many huge, how many stories. I think they must have like 150 buildings over 50 stories or 60 stories. I mean, it's an amazing place. Imagine how much that would make an impact if you could retrofit those and put those kind of energy-saving valves in an application like that.
Yeah, I'm so excited about it, Kenny. I've sort of set a personal goal, and I want to sell at least 100 of those this year personally. So I'm a man on a mission with the energy valves. And hey, you remember Mark Jewell, Kenny?
Sure do.
So Mark, for our listeners may or may not know, is the preeminent energy trainer, meaning teaching people how to sell automation systems and energy saving things, just complete how to talk to different people. Mark's got a book out. I talked to him this week, Kenny. He was actually addressing Wall Street on energy saving. So I spoke with Mark. Mark's going to come on the show here in the very near future. So we've had him on before. Looking forward to having him on again, Kenny. But he's got a new book out. And that's what he was talking to the folks at Wall Street about, was, about the effect of energy savings and the book and so on and so forth. So congratulations to Mark on that, and we'll look forward to getting him on the show.
Is his courses still available through Honeywell? Remember Honeywell?
Actually,
was interesting.
Belimos put him on to help shape the messaging regarding this energy valve.
So, good for him.
So, yeah, Mark is just, I think he might still be working with Honeywell as well. That's where you and I met him, with the Honeywell EEOC program. So
they should call him the value-added prophet,
Well, he really is. And you can go back and see interviews. We've had him just hit the search bar, Mark Jewell, and you can find interviews we've had with him on the past on Control Trends, where he gives away some of his concepts and his ideas, but he thinks about it completely differently. And I just give you one hint: energy savings is the icing on the cake. He says if you go in just talking about energy savings, nobody cares. That's the icing. But there are other things that he talks about and that are really, really valid concepts that I had never thought about that make a tremendous amount of sense. Again, his name is Mark Jewell. Google him. He does classes all the time. You can go out. I've sent 5 of our people through his week-long boot camp. So I think Mark mentioned he might even be coming to Atlanta maybe next spring, in which case maybe we can get him to come to our place and do some training there.
Well, Eric, and you're so right about the energy savings. I mean, in other words, that's a corollary impact or a consequence, a positive consequence of something. But the thing we've been reading on lighting now, Ken Sinclair and his group that are getting ready to do the ASHRAE presentation, I forget exactly what the name of the training session is, but the impact now of people having the right temperature, like the comfy mentality, and the right lighting for the time of day in schools, even though you're obviously controlling energy and you're maximizing your savings there, but you're also increasing performance. You're increasing worker productivity, because they're not complaining about stuff. They're not sitting in their seat all mad and angry that they can't see enough because the lights aren't good enough, or they're unhappy because the temperature isn't right. So it leads to counterproductive productivity. The people are getting, they're not getting back at the organization probably deliberately, but they're just so frustrated and unhappy and uncomfortable that their work performance suffers.
Well, Kenny, you're giving away a huge piece there. You're absolutely right. And Mark actually has the formulas and the studies to break that out. So
right.
He would advocate, instead of going in and talking to an engineer about saving energy, you go in and talk to a CEO about what would a 1% increase in productivity mean to your bottom line. Because the CEOs know this. Mark will teach you, how to equate that and show the studies where better temperature control, just like you said, Kenny, how that equates to the bottom line. So lots of stuff like that. So Mark, if you're listening, we look forward to getting you on, and congratulations on your book. Which brings us to our next post, Kenny.
Well, this is another really good post. We'll be chirping up the Stromquist personnel, because this guy here, Rob Allen, is really a special guy. He does that 7 minutes in control, and this is a very good product analysis, and we'll probably get these quite often now, because he's got that routine down. What a nice presentation, that dual screen thing. I tell you, I enjoy watching it. It's informative, and it's short. 7 minutes in control by Rob Allen. But this one's about the Jace. To Jace or not to Jace, which is kind of a neat little play on Shakespeare. But the question was really, which Jace to pick, the Web 600E or the Security H-616? And Rob does a very compelling analysis of how the Honeywell has put so much inside that Security Jace. It's almost a no-brainer. It's $500 less expensive. It comes with the 256 upgrade memory. It has Workbench AX embedded, included, so that it actually rounds out at, you know, list price around $3,000, where the regular Jace is about $3,500. Yep. So he does a great job. So
Kenny, and it also has two card readers already built into it too.
Sure.
So you can go in on a job and monitor some doors and stuff like that. So I think the only real controversy, Rob brings this up a little bit, and is something that our listeners need to be aware of, is that Jace, the Security Jace, is still running 3.6, right? And
right, 3.6.3, I think it is, yeah. But it'll catch up. Yeah. Yeah. So if you have to have the features of 3.7 or 3.8, if you need to have different HTML5, well, that's not there yet. It's coming in 4.0. But yeah, you're right. There would be reasons why that would be a detriment and not a benefit.
Yeah, it may or may not be, but it's something that our listeners just need to be aware of. So Rob does make a compelling argument. Encourage you to check that out. Rob is one of our superstars at Stromquist & Company, and does a great job, and we really appreciate Rob coming on with his 7 minutes in controls. And I tell you what, if you're a controls person out there and you want to have a show, we'll air it for you. Just send us the file. We'll post it. The more, the merrier. We want to inform the world about controls. And I'm looking for our friends over in India. You guys need to come up with a show. We need to get you guys on. Our friends in Norway, some of the people we met at the EZIO Worldwide Conference, we need to get you on the show, and we will. So, cool. Kenny, what do we have up next?
Simply VAV. We have a live stream rewind. KMC Simply VAV training at, again, the Stromquist & Company's new training facility in Atlanta, Georgia. I believe Doug Miller and Eric Kruder are on hand to do the presentation. And tell us about that again. It's another great live stream presentation on a product. And you're archiving these too, aren't you? So that if the control trends community...
Yeah. We're up there, so you can actually see an actual copy of what was streamed live. So that's what we're doing, Kenny. We'll put a post out so you can actually, if you go, you know, you have some time, you can go there, you can actually view it live. And the advantage to that is if you have a question, you can just type it in the chat window. We can ask an instructor right there for you. But we're recording them, and then we are posting them up. So this is a rewind, if you will, of the live stream that we did with KMC Controls on the Simply VAV Control, which is a really, really cool product, Kenny. They're actually up for the award there for the best VAV control. And I tell you, Doug Miller and Eric Kruder, great combination. Doug's been around forever. You know, one of those older controls guys like us who's been around for a long time. So you get that experience, sort of, you know, that perspective. And then Eric Kruder is definitely a young gun, Kenny. He's the grandson of Ken Kruder, the founder of KMC Controls. Super, super bright guy. Really knows his stuff. So this is a really good product, Kenny. And I think the training class is there for you. You can see what it's all about. Like, if you have any questions, we can put you in touch with the KMC rep in your area. But if you're in Georgia or Florida, that'd be Stromquist. And if you're up in the Pennsylvania area, remember, the man, the myth, the legend, Ken Smyers at DMS Controls. And if you're in another part of the country, we'll hook you up. Just drop us something in comments, and we'll get you with your distributor.
Well, you know, backing up to or circling back to something you said earlier about the new people on the scene, KMC has emerged enormously in the control trends community, and as manifested by their nominations for about 5, 6, 7 categories. You know, the Simply VAV, you talk about disruption technology. It doesn't have to always be new technology that's brand new to the market. It could be a variation of an existing technology. And these guys have just released one of the easiest to set up, no software. They got a website that's, I'll tell you what, I don't know of anybody else's website that puts so much, well, maybe Belimo. Belimo does a really good job, too, where they train you on their product right there. I mean, if somebody's picking this up for the first time and going out to the job site and you say, hey, put this in, and he says, well, you know what, how does it work? Well, you tell him, go visit this website, and it really breaks it down. And, you know, so you can use it as a remote, or you can use it as for the DDC integration. Customers, you know, they're out there looking for a very cost-effective, efficient DDC VAV control. KMC certainly has one.
Yes, they do, Kenny Smyers. Yes, they do. So be sure to check that out. And that brings us to one of your energy department announcements. They're still giving away money, huh, Kenny?
I'll tell you what, they're putting that green pedal to the metal, Eric. I get such a kick out of it because, you know, I'm just going to hear. I'm going to just take a pause here and look in my my folders on DOE because DOE now sends out one or two messages every day on something that's going on. So, I mean, I credit the a lot of people aren't very happy with the way, you know, the administration's doing the energy. You know, they've shut down some coal, really closed off the coal industry, or making them fight as hard as they can, you know. We see some, you know, lobbying on the oil stuff, but the positive things are is that every day they either have, you know, replace old school with new school. So they've got like Race to the Zero student program. Join us for housing design best practices webinar. The next day, the Energy Department announces new lab program to accelerate commercialization of clean energy. The same day, DOE publishes notice of public meeting to demonstrate appliances, standards, and analytic tools. The same day, again, Wind Exchange 2016 Collegiate Wind Competition. So every day we get a nice little input. I think they know that Control Trends gladly repurposes their releases. And, again, if you had a calculator here, there's probably $500 million given out in the last month and a half for energizing and accelerating the acceptance and the in installation of the smart grid components. So it's all coming from all different directions. They started out with the residences, and they moved to the people writing the specs, back to the residences, back to the commercial buildings. But long story short is that there's a lot of excitement because somebody is benefiting hugely. Somebody's participating. You and I always try to keep an eye on how we can link our businesses to this this cash stream that is financing a great deal of our upgrade to our smart grid and the open ADR program.
Really and truly. You know what happens on Tuesday, Kenny?
Tuesday's a voting day.
Tuesday, my Tesla arrives after 3 months on back order. I get the electric Tesla car. And I sort of bring this up for a reason. It does tie in to where we're at here with this because not only is it the coolest car I think I've ever had, it's all electric. For you who don't know, check it out, Tesla. It's just such a cool car. I'm getting a $12,500 credit, okay, tax credit on this. But, Kenny, the thing that's interesting is they give you a map where all the different charging stations are, and there are tons of free government-sponsored charging stations where you can pull the car in, and somebody's paying for it. It's hopefully not going to be me, but it looks like the government is really encouraging that too. So it really seems like, you know, maybe Obama will go down as being the green president. But, you know, from our perspective, at least, forget about everything else. I'm not a pop political guy and don't care to be. But it sure seems like that what Obama's done, at least regarding energy and rebates, has got to have been good for our industry.
Well, I just want to get right down to the actual post as a testament to what you're saying. Supporting the goals of the Obama administration's climate action plan, the Energy Department today announced a $15 million fund available to help integrate distributed on-site solar energy systems into the nation's electrical grid. With more solar energy, with more solar power installed in the United States in the last 18 months than the previous 30 years, solar is shattering records. Since President Obama, that's going a little bit there, but I just want to give you the figures here. We now went from 1.2 gigawatts in 2008 to 15.9 gigawatts today. which is enough, the equivalent to power 3.2 million average American homes. So as more solar comes online, the Energy Department is working to address the challenges of solar power, such as the variability of available sunshine during the day, developing solutions to better integrate solar photovoltaics with electric power systems through the grid. So there's a lot more work to be done, but I love to see the progress, and I'm proud that, you know, we're making inroads somewhere. We might see them. It might not directly affect us, but it's being done.
Well, I tell you what, Dan, you know, I bet if Obama was aware of the light layer, he'd probably get all over it. He'd probably give everybody, like, pellet rifles to go shoot the bulbs out of it. You see them on during the day. That might be mandated as a law. If somebody's got their lights on during the day, you just take a pellet gun and shoot those bulbs out, right?
No, don't do that. Take back. No, I'm kidding.
Take back. So we got Green Marine, because we created that website, the Green Marines, on Facebook, where you could actually post if you saw a light letter. Kenny and I did this and it lost traction, but I think it was a pretty good idea. We actually still have a Facebook page called the Green Marines.
Yep, it's still there.
What we were encouraging people to do, if you saw a light letter, upload the light letter. And I think we saw one of the big gas stations. I forget who it was, but they had a light letter on.
It's green. And I'll give you a hint. It's green.
So we took the pictures, and they had a Facebook page. So we reached out, sent them the pictures, and asked them if they'd please fix that, because they were, you know, sucking down X amount of energy. And I think they did, Kenny, because I think the thing is that companies now, part of their brand is, are they being socially responsible? So they do not want to be the ones that are the light litter folks. So, but the Green Marines, that's sort of fitting, the Green Marine Vigilante. So we do want you to be a vigilante. We don't want you shooting any lights out, but we do want you doing, when you see light litter, take a picture, post it on the Green Marines Facebook page, and let's see if we can't start putting some pressure on people to fix their lighting controls. Let's have Brian Pike go in and put one of his bullets on there.
Bullets, yeah. A charge of the light brigade, right?
Charge of the light brigade. There you go, Kenny. There you go.
Yeah, that was we did that post. You got to check that out. I believe that was one of Clint's posts, and it was kind of neat because that's a heck of a poem. If you remember,
well,
that.
I hear that Clint and Sarah Connor got together. Man, it was a little blog romance thing going on there, and both of them left Control Trends, unfortunately. Gotta miss both of them, man.
All right, Eric, our next and final post. Oh, no, I'm sorry, not the final post. Tritium launches new Niagara Analytics Framework. Put the power of the new Niagara Analytics Framework to work for your business. They have an early adopter program. Early adopter space is reserved for the first 200 eligible participants. This came out on October 1st, so you want to hurry up and get involved in that. If you're fast, you'll be one of the first 200 eligible participants, and there's a good lot of carrots to do that, because Tritium's relying on their network to help them get this thing up and running and just make it the most powerful new product that'll enable you to leverage the power of Niagara to shrink big data and grow performance into important data. The new Niagara Analytics Framework can be used in any industry or with any application. It runs on any system that produces data and can be applied to any operation. So they got some really, really good ideas, and now they're available to all the AX and Niagara communities.
So, Kenny, is that the data thing that they brought from Brian Turner and those guys? Is that what that is?
As I understand it, yes, but I have not been told, you know, or read it. But we knew that Tritium acquired DataEye from Control Co. And you know, it was all about, you know, leveraging it's the truly open Niagara platform enabled you to leverage power to transform data into actionable information. But what's really neat about it is it's native to Niagara, you know, so it's you don't have any issues on any of the compatibilities or anything like this. This is a Niagara actual, you know, program.
All right, buddy. And then our last post, which is the first post we came up with, was us traveling around Chicago, showing you the sights and announcing the finalists for the 2014 Control Trends Awards. Anything else you want to say about that, Kenny, before we hop off?
Well, no, it's 18 minutes of fun. You know, it's very informative because we show you where the venue is. We show you a little bit about Chicago. It's very, I think you did a marvelous job of, it must take you a whole night and day to get that all together and all those spices to put into one continuous video, but well done. You know, it was a lot of fun. We don't have a whole lot of fun in our work, you know, controls. If we don't make it interesting, it's kind of tedious and boring, you know, because nobody appreciates all the hard work. So this just gives us an opportunity to have a little fun and still be informative and still keep it going and show people what's happening.
There you go, Kenny. All right. Well, look, that was the week that was. We got another big week coming up. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in on Control Talk Now, your Smart Buildings podcast. We didn't do the video cast this week, Kenny. We'll probably bring that back on next week. But, buddy, I hope you have a great week. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
And thanks to our audience. And remember, stay in control.
Indeed.
Indeed, Kenny Smith.